Okay, so we're diving deep today into a case that's pretty fascinating, I think, especially for anyone interested in the world of like high stakes corporate deals, mergers and acquisitions, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. This one's got it all.
We've got an auction allegations of some serious foul play, a massive jury award. I mean, it's a real legal thriller.
It really is, and it all revolves around this case, Ventus Inc. versus HEP Inc. It went all the way up to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and it offers some really important lessons about the legal concept of tortious interference.
Which we'll break down for everyone listening. Don't worry if you're not familiar with that term yet. We're going to unpack it all, make it clear, and by the end, you'll have a solid understanding of not only what happened in this specific case, but also how the legal principles at play could impact your own future legal careers, whether you're thinking about M&A or really any kind of business law.
Definitely. So let's start with the basics. What happened here?
Right. So picture this. Back in 2006, you've got this company called Sunrise, a Canadian real estate trust, and they decide to hold a confidential auction for their assets.
And not just any assets. These were prime healthcare real estate holdings, so it attracted some big players.
Exactly. Two major U.S. companies, Ventas and HCP, they were the main contenders in this auction. Both really wanted to get their hands on Sunrise's portfolio.
And like in any high-stakes auction, there were rules in place to keep things fair and orderly.
Right, a level playing field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Both Ventas and HCP, they agreed to something called a standstill agreement.
Now, for those who aren't familiar with that term, what does a standstill agreement really mean in this context?
Essentially, it meant that neither company could make any public bids for Sunrise outside of the structured auction process.
So no going behind each other's backs to try and sweet talk the shareholders or anything like that.
Right. It was all about keeping the competition within the bounds of the auction for a specific period of time. In this case, it was 18 months.
Standard procedure in this kind of situation, right?
Absolutely. Helps prevent things from getting messy or one side getting an unfair advantage.
Makes sense. So everyone adheres to the rules, the auction kicks off, and things start to heat up.
And that's where the drama really begins. You see, HEP, they actually lost out in the first round of the auction.
How come?
Well, their bid was contingent on them securing a deal with a third party called SSL, which managed some of Sunrise's properties.
Ah, so kind of a make or break condition.
Yeah, they couldn't get that SSL agreement in place, so their bid fell apart. Ventas, on the other hand, they managed to secure that crucial agreement, and their bid of $15 per unit for Sunrise's shares won them the first round.
So at this point, you'd think Ventus is probably feeling pretty good about their chances, right? They've got the initial win the key agreement in place. It's looking like a done deal.
You'd think so, but here's where things take that unexpected turn. Remember that standstill agreement we talked about?
The one about not making public bids outside the auction.
I had very one. Well, guess what HCP did?
Don't tell me they.
They did. They went ahead and announced a public offer of $18 per unit for Sunrise.
No way, after they lost the first round.
Yep, seems like they decided to throw the rule book out the window.
I bet that caused some chaos.
Oh, you better believe. Sunrise's stock price immediately jumped up, as you might expect. That public announcement basically threw a wrench into the whole process.
And for Ventus, I imagine this was a huge problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Their original agreement with Sunrise was suddenly in jeopardy. They were facing the possibility of Sunrise walking away or being forced to accept HCP's higher offer.
So what did they do?
Well, they had to make a tough decision. In order to keep the deal alive and prevent HCP from swooping in, they had to increase their bid significantly.
How much?
They had to bump it up by $1.50 per unit, which ended up costing them over $100 million.
Wow, that's a hefty price to pay just to stay in the game.
Yeah, it was a major financial hit, and this whole situation is what led to the lawsuit. It wasn't just about feeling slighted or outmaneuvered. Ventas believed they had suffered real tangible damages as a direct result of HCP's actions.
And that's where this idea of tortious interference comes in, right?
Exactly. The legal concept that deals with situations where a third party intentionally interferes with a valid business relationship or expectancy causing harm.
So in this case, Ventus is arguing that HCP's public bid basically messed up their deal with Sunrise and cost them a ton of money.
That's the gist of it. But to win a tortious interference claim under Kentucky law, you have to prove a few key elements.
Okay, let's break those down. What are we looking for here?
First, you need to show that there was a valid business expectancy. This means there was a reasonable expectation of a future economic benefit.
Which in this case would be Ventus's agreement with Sunrise after winning that first round.
Precisely. Then you need to show that the defendant, in this case, HCP, knew about that expectancy.
Well, considering they were both competing in the same auction, I'd say it's pretty safe to assume they were aware of Ventus's position.
I'd agree. The third element is intentional interference that caused the termination or disruption of that expectancy.
Now, technically, Ventus's agreement with Sunrise wasn't completely terminated, right? They just had to pay a lot more to keep it going.
That's right. But the argument here is that HCP's actions directly interfered with Ventus's original expectation of acquiring Sunrise at the initially agreed upon price. That $15 per unit bid.
So that forced increase in their bid, that's the damage we're talking about.
Exactly. That $100 million plus that Ventus had to shell out, that's the quantifiable harm they suffered.
Okay, so we've got the expectancy, the knowledge, the interference, the damages, but there's one more crucial piece of the puzzle, right?
You got it. The final element, and this is really where the case hinges, is improper conduct. You have to prove that the defendant's actions weren't just aggressive competition, but actually crossed a line into something that the law considers wrongful.
So what exactly made HCP's conduct improper in the eyes of the court?
Well, the Sixth Circuit agreed with the jury's finding that HCP's actions went beyond the bounds of fair play, and here's why. Their public press release announcing that $18 per unit bid, it was misleading.
Misleading how?
Because they conveniently left out some very important information.
Like what? Spill the tea?
First and foremost, they failed to mention that their bid was in direct violation of that standstill agreement. They had literally signed a contract saying they wouldn't do exactly what they did.
Oh, so they were trying to make it seem like a legitimate offer when it actually went against the rules they had agreed to.
Exactly. They also failed to disclose that their offer was still conditional on getting approval from SSL, you know, that same third party that had already caused their first bid to fail.
So they were dangling this higher offer as if it was a sure thing, when in reality it was still very much up in the air.
Right. They were painting a very rosy picture for the market without being upfront about the potential roadblocks.
That seems pretty deceptive to me. It's like they were intentionally trying to sabotage Ventus's deal.
And that's essentially what the court concluded.
Yeah.
They considered these omissions to be a form of fraudulent omission.
Fraudulent omission?
Yeah.
That sounds serious. What does that mean exactly?
Legally, it's not just forgetting to mention something. It means you are deliberately withholding crucial information with the intent to deceive someone and cause them harm.
So it's not just an oversight, it's a calculated move.
Right. In this case, the court found that HCP's omissions were intentional and aimed at disrupting Ventus's deal, driving up Sunrise's value, and ultimately forcing Ventus to pay a much higher price.
Okay, so HCP is trying to play it off as just tough business, but the court isn't buying it. What did they say in response to that argument?
Well, HCP's main defense was that they were simply engaging in aggressive competition. You know, that's a common argument in these kinds of cases. Businesses are expected to compete with each other, and sometimes that can get pretty intense.
So where's the line between acceptable competition and something that crosses over into tortious interference?
That's the million-dollar question. And the law does recognize that businesses have a right to compete. But there are limits. And those limits are often spelled out in legal texts like the Restatement Second of Torts, which is a really influential guide for courts when deciding these types of cases.
So what does the restatement say about competition and when it becomes improper?
Section 768 of the Restatement basically says that businesses are generally allowed to compete with each other, even if it means one business might lose out on a deal. However, there's a big caveat. That competition can't involve what's called wrongful means.
Okay, so what are wrongful means in this context?
Things like fraud, misrepresentation, deception, basically any actions that go beyond the bounds of fair play and honesty.
So it's not just about being tough, it's about playing by the rule.
Exactly. Hmm. And in this case, the Sixth Circuit found that HCP's deceitful press release with those crucial omissions, those qualified as wrongful means. They weren't just being aggressive, they were actively misleading the market and concealing important information to gain an unfair advantage.
And that's what tipped the scales towards tortious interference.
That's right. The court said essentially that you can compete vigorously, but you can't resort to deception and misrepresentation, especially when you've agreed to specific rules like that standstill agreement.
Right. So the jury sided with Ventus and awarded them a pretty hefty sum in damages.
Yeah, over $101 million in compensatory damages, to be exact.
Which was intended to cover that extra amount they had to pay to keep the deal with Sunrise from falling apart.
Right. But the story doesn't end there. There was also the issue of punitive damages.
Ah, yes. The extra punishment damages that are sometimes awarded in cases where the defendant's conduct was especially egregious.
Exactly. Now, initially, the district court ruled that Ventus couldn't even seek punitive damages. but the Sixth Circuit reversed that decision.
Oh, that's significant. So what's the legal standard for punitive damages in Kentucky? What did Ventas have to prove to even be considered for those?
Under Kentucky law, punitive damages are reserved for situations involving oppression, fraud, or malice.
And that has to be proven by clear and convincing evidence, right?
You got it. It's a higher standard of proof than in most civil cases.
Yeah.
It means the evidence needs to pretty strongly suggest that the defendant's conduct met one of those criteria.
So what evidence did the Sixth Circuit point to that convinced them to send this issue of punitive damages back down to the lower court?
Well, they found several things pretty troubling. For one, HCP knowingly violated that standstill agreement. They knew what they were doing, and they did it anyway. Then there's the fact that they deliberately omitted the conditional nature of their bid regarding that SSL approval. They made it seem like a done deal when it really wasn't.
Painting a misleading picture again?
Exactly. And perhaps most damning of all, there were reports that HCP's own general counsel had acknowledged internally that their bid violated the standstill agreement.
Oh, so they knew they were breaking the rules.
Yeah, it seems so. And that kind of internal awareness of wrongdoing, it really strengthens the argument that their actions weren't just a mistake or a lapse in judgment, but something more intentional.
Something that might warrant additional punishment beyond just making up for Ventas's financial losses.
Precisely. So while that initial $101 million in compensatory damages stood, Ventas was given the opportunity to go back and argue for punitive damages as well.
Wow. Okay. So that's a pretty big development in the case. Now, HCP, they didn't just accept all of this without a fight. They also challenged some of the jury instructions that were given during the trial. Specifically, they took issue with how the concept of proximate cause was explained to the jury.
Yeah, this is a really important legal concept. Mm-hmm. Proximate cause basically means that the defendant's actions were a sufficiently direct cause of the harm that the plaintiff suffered.
So in this case, HCP was arguing that their actions weren't really the direct cause of Ventas having to pay that higher price.
That was essentially their argument. They were probably trying to suggest that other factors might have been at play, you know, maybe market conditions or something, Sunrise did themselves, that kind of thing.
To shift the blame a bit.
Exactly. But the Sixth Circuit wasn't convinced. They pointed out that Kentucky law uses a more flexible standard for causation in these types of cases.
What does that mean?
It means that the interference doesn't have to be the only cause of the harm, just a substantial factor.
Ah, so the jury didn't have to find that HCP's actions were the sole reason Ventas had to increase their bid.
Right. They just had to find that HCP's actions played a significant role in that outcome. Like one domino in a chain reaction leading to the final result.
So even if other factors contributed, HCP's actions still had to be a substantial part of the equation.
That's right. The court also emphasized the principle of deference to jury verdicts.
Meaning?
It means that if there's enough evidence to reasonably support the jury's decision, even if other people might have interpreted the facts differently, the appellate court will generally uphold that decision.
So they're not going to second-guess the jury unless there's a really clear reason to do so.
Exactly. Which speaks to the important role that juries play in our legal system, especially in complex business disputes like this one.
Definitely. And it also highlights the importance of having clear and accurate jury instructions so the jury understands the legal principles they're supposed to be applying.
Absolutely. So there you have it. The case of Ventas v. HCP, a real-life legal drama with some important lessons for anyone interested in the world of business law.
So for all you aspiring lawyers out there listening, what are the key takeaways from this case? What should you keep in mind as you move forward in your careers?
Well, first and foremost, this case is a stark reminder that standstill agreements are serious business. You can't just ignore them or violate them without consequences. As HCP learned the hard way, breaching those agreements can lead to some pretty hefty financial penalties.
Yeah, $100 million is no joke.
Definitely not. So if you're involved in any kind of deal where a standstill agreement is in place, take it seriously. Make sure everyone understands the terms and sticks to them.
What's another big lesson?
Transparency, honesty. They're not just buzzwords. They're essential. HCP's attempt to mislead the market by concealing crucial information, it backfired big time. They might have thought they were being clever or strategic, but it ended up costing them a lot more than they probably bargained for.
So full disclosure is always the best policy.
Without a doubt. Being upfront about all the material facts can be the difference between a deal going smoothly and ending up in a costly legal battle.
And what would you say is the final key takeaway from this case?
I think it's the reminder that actions have consequences. Even in the cutthroat world of business, there are lines you shouldn't cross. If you act in bad faith, if you intentionally try to deceive or harm someone, you could end up facing not just financial losses, but also punitive damages, which are meant to punish and deter that kind of conduct.
So it's not just about winning, it's about how you play the game.
Exactly. Ethical conduct matters, integrity matters, and the courts are there to enforce those principles.
So as we wrap up today's deep dive, I want to leave you all with a question to ponder. How might these principles of tortious interference, as we saw in Ventus v. HCP, apply in other business contexts beyond just mergers and acquisitions? Think about contract negotiations, competitive bidding scenarios, all those situations where businesses are interacting and competing. What are the boundaries? What are the red flags to watch out for so you can stay on the right side of the law and avoid ending up in a similar legal mess?
It's a question worth considering because these principles, they have far-reaching implications. The rules of fair play, they apply across the board. Whether you're dealing with multi-million dollar corporate takeovers or smaller everyday business transactions, honesty, transparency, ethical conduct, they're always the best policy.
Great advice. Thanks for breaking all of this down. It's been a really insightful look into a fascinating case.
My pleasure. Always happy to dive into these legal complexities with you.
Until next time, folks, stay informed, stay engaged, and remember that the law is everywhere.